Well, good morning, Plantation Community Church, and welcome to Easter Sunday. Happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. And if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 24 today, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Today is Easter, of course, and we have spent the last 6 weeks following Jesus and his disciples on the road to Jerusalem. Last week, we witnessed Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But you know what? A lot happened in that 1 week between Palm Sunday and Easter. This is the week that we often call Holy Week. Let me just recap the events of Holy Week for you real quickly here. On Monday and Tuesday, the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders escalated. On Wednesday, Judas met with the religious leaders. He arranged for Jesus' betrayal. On Thursday, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room. He shared the Last Supper with them. And then later that same night, he was arrested while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Early Friday morning, Jesus was tried before Pilate. He was sentenced to death. And by Friday evening, Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. Saturday was a Sabbath day of rest. And so at last, finally now, we come to Sunday morning, okay? Only 7 days have passed now since the triumphal entry, but so much had happened in between. And I want you to imagine how the disciples felt. Hold on a second, just troubling my computer here. There we go. I want you to imagine how the disciples felt at this moment, right? They were in shock from the events of Thursday and Friday. They were in mourning over the death of their Lord and friend, and they were hiding in fear of their own lives. Jesus had warned them that the road to Jerusalem was the road of suffering and the cross, and yet somehow they still didn't understand all this. But now Sunday morning had arrived, and everything was about to change. So we're in Luke chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12, but to get started right now, I'm just going to read verses 5 through 8. Luke chapter 24 and verses 5 through 8. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Well, Father God, this is your word. This is your day. And Lord, we are here to hear from you, to hear from your word. Speak to us, God, by your Holy Spirit through your living word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a great question, isn't it? We do not normally look for the dead among the living, right? So why would you look for the living among the dead? And that's the question that the angels posed to the women who came to Jesus' tomb that first Easter morning. And it's the question I would like us to consider this morning as well. So let's get started. We're in Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 1 with me. We read this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, on Good Friday, right after Jesus had died, Joseph of Arimathea asked and received permission to bury Christ's body in his own tomb. The women who had attended Jesus followed Joseph. They saw the tomb. They saw how Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. Then they rested on Saturday, on the Sabbath, in obedience to God's commandment. But now it's Sunday morning. And now the women make their way to the tomb. And Luke tells us it was very early in the morning. And I imagine some of you have gotten up early on other Easter Sundays to attend an Easter sunrise service. And so you can relate with these women, right? Sometimes it's still dark when you get up, and it's not easy getting out of bed. But you obviously feel that there is something of greater value than sleeping in on Easter morning. So you get up early, you go to the sunrise service. Well, these women also very clearly felt that there was something more important than sleeping in on Easter. And so they got up, they took the spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. And you might wonder, why did they bring the spices? Well, they brought these spices out of love and respect for their crucified Lord. They were going to anoint his body in the grave. In other words, these women went fully expecting to find Jesus dead and buried in the tomb. Instead, we read this now in verses 2 and 3. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I like that. They found the stone rolled away, right? But they did not find Jesus. They were looking for Jesus where? Among the dead. And they did not find him. You know, many people are still looking for Jesus among the dead. I think of biblical scholars who study the words of Jesus. They study the gospel manuscripts, but they don't believe in Christ's resurrection. Now, some biblical scholars do, but I'm thinking of those who don't. I think of the archaeologists who after 2,000 years are still trying to find Jesus' body and bones in the tomb, but they keep coming up empty. I think of people who finger the sculpted body of Christ on their crucifixes, but somehow they do not know the reality of the living Christ. These people all have one thing in common. They are all looking for Jesus among the dead. But if you are looking for Jesus among the dead, guess what? You will not find him because he is not there. Frank Morrison was a man who went looking for Jesus among the dead. Morrison was a British journalist. He lived in the early 20th century. He was not a Christian. He admired Jesus. He admired the person of Jesus, but he was a skeptic. He felt these stories about Jesus and the resurrection, nothing more than a myth or a legend, and especially that story of the resurrection. So Morrison, he had this brilliant idea. He was a journalist. He said, hey, why not prove that the resurrection never happened? Why not use his own research skills as a journalist to dig into history and to prove that Jesus never did rise from the dead? And so that was his plan. He would do his research and then he would write a book presenting the historical facts about Christ and the events surrounding his death. And so what did Frank Morrison do? He went looking for Jesus among the dead. And you know what? He never found him. He never found him. What he did find is exactly what Luke says in our passage this morning. He found that the stone was rolled away, but he could not find the body of Jesus. Instead, he found the risen Christ, and he put his faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Morrison wrote up his research in a famous book called Who Moved the Stone? I especially like the title of the first chapter. The first chapter is called The Book That Refused to Be Written. The Book That Refused to Be Written. And here's what Morrison says in the preface. He says, this study is in some ways so unusual and provocative that the writer thinks it desirable to state here very briefly how the book came to take its present form. In one sense, it could have taken no other, for it is essentially a confession, the inner story of a man who originally set out to write one kind of book and found himself compelled by the sheer force of circumstances to write quite another. It is not that the facts themselves altered, for they are recorded imperishably in the monuments and in the pages of human history, but the interpretation to be put upon the facts underwent a change. Somehow, Morrison writes, the perspective shifted, not suddenly as in a flash of insight or inspiration, but slowly, almost imperceptibly, by the very stubbornness of the facts themselves. Frank Morrison set out to write a book disproving the resurrection of Christ. Instead, he ended up writing what has become a Christian classic, presenting the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Morrison went looking for Jesus among the dead, but he did not find him there. And you will not find him there either. If you want to find Jesus this morning, you can't go looking among the dead. You must go looking among the living. Among the living. And that brings us now to the good news of Easter. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me now as we continue. While the women were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Now, these were clearly not ordinary men. First of all, they appeared out of nowhere. Their clothes were shining like lightning. And, you know, you read the other Gospels, and the other Gospels, they confirm that these men were indeed not human. These were angels. These were messengers sent from God with their clothing still burning bright with the glory of heaven. Now, I've never met an angel, at least not knowingly, right? I know angels have been known to travel in disguise. But knowingly, I've never met an angel. But you know, in the Bible, whenever an angel appears in glory, not in disguise, but in glory, one thing always happens. People fall down on their faces in fear. It is an instinctive reaction. Think about it. Angels are majestic. They're glorious beings, and we fall down before them. And the women at the tomb that day, they were no different. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Now we come to the question that the angels asked the woman. It's our question today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Verses 5 through 8. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. Now, this is something we've seen several times, right, in our study on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus told his followers again and again. He told them what was going to happen when they got to Jerusalem. He said he would suffer. He said he would be crucified. He told them on the third day he would rise from the dead. So think about it. Jesus's arrest should not have been a big surprise to his followers. Jesus's crucifixion and death should not have been a surprise either. And even Jesus' resurrection should not have been a surprise, because Jesus told them about all these things in advance. And yet somehow the meaning of these things escaped them. And Luke tells us it was only after these things happened that they remembered his words and they were able to put it all together. And so it was that these women showed up with spices at Jesus' grave on Easter morning, looking for a dead man. And the angels rightly asked them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And folks, that is the good news of Easter. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and the grave. He rose from the dead on Easter morning. He is alive and well today. You will not find him among the dead, for he is among the living. And he offers new life to you. The Bible tells us that those who trust in Christ, we will share in his resurrection. The fear of death and judgment is taken away. And you know what? That's good news when we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? In fact, that's good news anytime. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So that is the good news of Easter. And now only one question remains. And that question is this: how will you respond? How will you respond? And we see several responses now highlighted in our passage this morning in our closing verses. And I want to take a look at the responses here. First, you have the response of the women. We see the women's response in verses 9 and 10. It says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So the women came back from the tomb, and they told all these things to the apostles, to everyone there with them. Now think about it. They must have been frightened, right? They must have been confused. They certainly didn't understand everything that had happened, but there was one thing they could still do, right? They could share what they had seen. They could share what they knew. They could share that Jesus' body wasn't there. It was not in the grave. They could share what the angels said, that he had risen from the dead. You see, here's the women's response. They believed and they shared. They believed what they saw and heard, and they shared their faith with others. Let me ask you, are you a believer in Jesus' resurrection this morning? Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? If so, then your response is you need to share your faith with others, just like the women at Jesus' tomb did. Jesus died, but he rose again from the dead. He is alive forevermore. Folks, that's good news, right? And good news is for sharing. And so don't keep the good news of Easter all to yourself. That would be selfish, right? Share it with other people. Maybe take the video of this message and share it with your friends on Facebook. Share with everyone you know the astonishing good news that God sent his son Jesus to die for sinners. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. What better way to respond to the good news of Easter than to share it with others? So that's our first response this morning. Believe and share. And then secondly, you have the response of the apostles, or at least what we might say their initial response. The women's response was believe and share. The apostles' response was don't believe, don't share. In fact, do nothing. Look at verse 11. The women just shared with them. Luke 24:11 says this, they did not believe. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So the women, what? They believed the good news of Easter, and so they shared their faith with others. The apostles did not believe, and so they did nothing. Now, I'm happy to report that the apostles later changed their minds in all of this, right? Later on, they did believe, but their initial response, it mirrors the response of so many people today. So many people today, they don't believe in all this Jesus stuff. It all seems like so much nonsense to them. And so what do? Nothing. They do nothing. They dismiss the story of Jesus outright. They continue to live their lives as though nothing happened that first Easter morning. Let me ask you, is that your response today? Have you heard the Easter story before, but you've never really done anything about it? Have you ever thought, well, that's okay for those people at church, but it has nothing to do with me? If that's your response this morning, then let me tell you, you are missing out on the most wonderful news in all the world. Jesus is alive. And if Jesus rose from the dead, that means that if you put your faith in him, then one day you will rise from the dead too. Does it all sound like so much nonsense to you? But think about it. What if it were true? Don't you at least want it to be true? And of course you do, right? Anyone who has ever buried a loved one in the ground would absolutely wish that all these things were true. But the apostles' initial response to the report of Jesus' resurrection, their initial response was simply to reject it completely. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So let me ask you, are those your only two options then? Is that all you've got? Either believe that Jesus rose from the dead or don't believe, right? Believe or don't believe. At first, that would seem like those are your only two options. But you know, there is one other option. And we find this third option illustrated for us by Peter, by Peter's response. Look at our last verse now, verse 12 with me. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And so if you're not sure what to make of Jesus' resurrection, there is a third option you can take. Rather than simply rejecting it all as nonsense, you can do what Peter did. You can check it out for yourself. What did Peter do? Peter ran to the tomb. He examined the evidence. He saw the stone that was rolled away. He entered the empty tomb. He saw the strips of linen that once contained the body of Jesus, now lying there by themselves. Peter went looking for Jesus. And you know what? Peter found him. He found him not lying dead in a tomb, but he found him resurrected and alive. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to Peter first before he appeared to the other 12. Obviously, this took place sometime after Peter left the tomb that morning. Peter was not yet ready to believe that Jesus was alive. But unlike the other apostles, he did not dismiss it as nonsense. What did he do? He checked it out for himself. And he encountered the living Christ. Now you might say, well, that's all well and good for Peter. He could run to the empty tomb and check it out. I can't do that today. No, you can't. But you know what you can do? You can do what Frank Morrison did. Remember, Morrison didn't believe, but what did he do? He checked out the facts for himself. And so you could read Morrison's book, Who Moved the Stone? Or Josh Dowell's book, More Than a Carpenter? Or Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ? Or more recently, Timothy Keller's excellent book, The Reason for God? There are so many good resources out there that will present to you the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. Or if you're not into reading, then talk with me or one of the other pastors at the church and let us share with you personally the evidence that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead. And so that's my word to you today. If you're not yet ready to believe this morning, don't dismiss it all as nonsense. Don't you owe it to yourself at least to investigate the claims of Christianity? Be like Peter and check it out for yourself. You know, the angels asked the women that first Easter morning, why do you look for the living among the dead? Let me say this to you again. If you are looking for Jesus among the dead, you will never find him because he is not there. But if you look for Jesus among the living, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will not only find him, God's word tells us that you will be saved. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Please pray with me. Well, Father God, we thank you for the joyful Easter good news gospel. Lord Jesus, that you are alive and well, that you are risen from the grave, that you have conquered sin and death, and that when we put our faith in you, not only our sins are forgiven, but your Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. You give us new life, and you give us the gift of eternal life. So when our time comes, when we must die and stand before your throne, standing there in Jesus' blood and his righteousness, you will say, welcome. Come in, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. Lord, we look forward to that day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Easter day. Enjoy time with family or friends, whether in your home or give some people a call. Spend some time in God's word, but rejoice. For Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.